is Clint Richardson, who I initially interviewed for the very first time on Wednesday, December 15th, 2010, and Thursday, December 16th, 2010. Well, it's called synchronicity. We both grew up in Sacramento, California. We were destined to meet. I believe that a loving intelligence arranged this. He has impacted my personal life beyond anything that I could have imagined. It's synchronicity. Not arranged by me, not arranged, it was arranged. That's all I can say. And I love him dearly. His website is, I get so emotional, as my listeners obviously know. Anyway, his websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com, blogger is with one G, and the corporationnation.com. You can download his most recent book, strawmanstory.info. He is an amazing talent, and he's created many films. Whoops, I forgot to unplug my phone here. He has created many films, has worked on lots of projects, all of them very informative, very wonderful, and it's such a pleasure to know him, and he's been to my house. And anyway, Clint, welcome to the program, my dear friend.
Ditto.
My dear friend, you you have answered, so you've gotten me out of, you've changed my life so much. It's just incredible. When I think back over the last 10 years and the changes that I have made in my life because of your influence, because of what I have learned from you, and the fact that we both grew up in Sacramento, that's almost unheard of. It really.
Small world.
It is. Anyway, my good friend, welcome.
Well, that was a hell of an introduction. I don't think I could top it except to say same to you.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. And I remember one of the things that we talked about some time back when you were talking about 50 U.S. Code 152A. You talked about the restrictions on use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents. And I believe that comes into play for today's program, for today's environment, which is full of fear, stress. Stress causes disease. Stress really does cause disease. And we are in a state of such great stress, given what is going on, both economically, biologically, and you have been looking at this in depth, as only you do. That's how you are. You're very detail-oriented.
It's pretty pathetic, but yeah, you're right.
No, you're very detail-oriented, which I totally appreciate, totally respect. Yeah, I'm detail-oriented, too. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah. And yet, you look around at my office, and it's a mess.
I'm in the process of cleaning mine up.
Right?
Yeah, it's.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly about the concept of fear. And that for the most part, we fear the wrong things, right? The one of the things that people don't understand specifically about religion, the Bible, and that thing is this concept of the fear of God, which really means we should be fearing what we've done to go against the law of nature, the law of God. In other words, we've created these viruses, as we call them, these things that are viral, infectious. We've created them in a lab, and that's what I've been. Basically, people were contacting me and saying, "I can't make sense of this. What's going on? I'm afraid. I'm in fear. I don't, you know." And fear comes from the unknown, for the most part, right? When you have a fear of the unknown, that is the most stressful type of fear. And I kept looking at these little tidbits of stuff that people would send me, and I couldn't help but start looking into it. Now I'm making a documentary about it because I have to, you know, to put all these pieces together. And you'll forgive me because I have so many pieces flying through my head trying to relate everything together. And you know, we've joked before, Deanna, that every time I come on here, I have some bad news. Right?
It's not bad. It's a warning message. It's not, you're not intending to scare people. You're intending to educate people as to what is going on.
Well, I think there's a healthy fear and there's an unhealthy fear, and I don't think you can fight the unknown. I think that goes back to, you know, the art of war, basically, that you must know your enemy. And if we don't know what it is that we're fighting against right now, not only principalities and governments and what we lamely call science, or what people use as the excuse to do horrible things and break the laws of nature, and they call themselves scientists, that's what we need to talk about, because I now have put all these pieces there that shows what it is that we're dealing with, which is a lab-made virus, and they talk about it openly. Right, everything I say today is something that you can look up for yourself. I'm not going to speculate maybe until the end about some of the stuff, some of these anecdotal pieces of evidence. Right now, I just want to focus on the basic, and I want people to have a healthy fear of, you know, in other words, if I'm on a cliff and I can see that there is a drop-off, I'm going to grab onto whatever I'm going to grab onto, and I'm going to be very secure and safe in my journey. But if I'm blindfolded and I can't see that cliff face, well then, you know, I know it's there, but I can't see it. And I have to be, you know, I'm afraid of the unknown. And that's a much more stressful type of, it's not a healthy fear. It's not a good kind of fear. And the last thing I want to do is contribute to this. Well, let's face it, what we're dealing with right now is something we've talked about for a very long time. It's the implementation of controlled chaos in order to control that chaos, because through chaos, people can be made to do many, many things. You know, I've heard it before. I've heard it said before that in order to get mandatory vaccines, for instance, and people to accept them, they need to make us so afraid of whatever they create for us, whatever they make us afraid of, that we beg, we plead, we ask for the vaccine. It's not that they're forcing it on us, or the majority of us. It's that we believe so intently that somehow getting infected with the disease will save us from the disease, that that we'll ask for it by name. We'll line up, you know, and just like we're lining up to buy toilet paper, right? We'll line up for it because we believe that is what will save us. So you've created the fear of the unknown, right? The virus. Nobody knows what this virus is. I do. I've got all the research, right? So I'm starting to understand. And please understand that when I say that, it's not arrogance. I've done the research. I understand what's happening. Although there is there's always a room for error. I could be wrong about this, but when you put all these pieces together, and I just want to make that declaration, the only way I'm going to know if I'm right is if people go out and actually get tested and monitor themselves for exactly what we're going to be talking about. Because, you know, when you hear this, it's very frightening. And I'm sure that the people have heard tidbits of it before. I'm sure that the shock jocks out there have talked about a biological weapon and how they have the magic drug or you know, bark extract or iodine that they're going to sell you that's going to save you from the biological weapon, right? Which is the whole purpose that they're making this fear campaign, right, in the first place, to sell you some product. I have nothing to sell you, folks. I have a genuine interest in finding the truth, no matter how horrible or it is, you know, how much it goes against your ego, how much it goes against my belief system or your belief system. I just want the truth. And so this became such a monumental task to come to the bottom of this that I'm, like I said, I'm making a documentary about it because you have to put all the pieces together. So with that said, I mean, you want to start this thing?
Well, no, you can go ahead and.
Well, I mean, God. So the first question we have about the unknown is, what is coronavirus, right?
Exactly. What is it? Where did it come from? Who designed it? If you really practice, well, the whole idea, and what I've been doing recently, is studying energy medicine, which goes back 5,000 years in China. And I'm thinking, okay, this supposedly came out of Wuhan, China. And I'm thinking, that doesn't make sense. Why aren't they using energy medicine, which is has been their tradition for 500 years? It just, of course, I don't like everything that the Chinese do.
Americanized.
Right. But I don't like the fact that they eat dogs and cats and that kind of thing. Okay?
Sure.
I've been there. I only saw one cat. I disagree with that. Okay? But the energy medicine they have practiced for so long, why aren't they implementing that instead of promoting vaccines?
So you have to understand what is coronavirus, and for that we actually can depend on the American Medical Association. Surprisingly enough, we go back to 1989. We look in the Encyclopedia of Medicine, and we have a list of various viruses. Now, keep in mind what is a virus. A lot of people out there who, forgive the analogy, but have the flat earth mentality, which is the zetetic form of science, which means I believe what I observe or what I can see, not what I can't see. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. If I see something that's an art or a representation of something, I therefore don't believe it. Everything NASA does is art, and therefore I don't believe it's real. Yeah, NASA colors in pictures so you can see what's going on out there, etc. That doesn't mean it's fake. It just means, you know. And when they make a model of a virus, they do it in a very dumbed down way so that you can see that it's basically a body with a nucleus or without a nucleus, and it's got little spikes or receptors that then attach to other receptors in your own body and deliver a payload, whether that's RNA, DNA, etc. Right? Now, so you have to think of a virus for before we add the name of the virus to it. You have to understand that a virus used to be defined as pus. If you go to if you go to the old dictionaries, just pus, just matter. In other words, infectious matter that can attach to other cells or matter and infect them. Well, what does that mean is the question. And what that's called is transcription, right? So think of a computer virus, and it's pretty much the same thing, right? If I were to give you a visualization of a computer virus, I would do what they do. Like, you know, it's like almost like an injection of information into the computer, except it's code. It's a bunch of random symbols and stuff that aren't so random, and they cause havoc, and they cause a reprogramming of the cell or a reprogramming of the DNA, if you will, that makes up your computer, the programming of your computer. It's very similar, but in a biological way, that's what happens in the body. You can't take those things and say they're the same, but you can use it as an analogy, right? So when they show a virus, very much like, you know, any type of simplistic artwork that's designed just to give you the idea of what a virus is or does, right? Something that shoots information into a cell, it invades the cell, reprograms the cell, and then causes that cell to either infect other cells or produce more of the same reprogrammed virus, right? So it changes the purpose of your own cell. That is what viruses do. And when we say viruses, it's much easier to consider you're talking about something that is viral, right? So a tweet can go viral.
Right.
Meaning it's infecting people's minds.
Right.
Right? It's literally transferring information that wasn't there before into people's minds. That's a tweet. Well, what do you think of that's the why do they call it viral? Because they're using the same concept. It's information, in this case RNA and DNA, RNA specifically, which transcripts DNA, writes the pattern of what the DNA is going to be, in other words, or rewrites it, right? So, okay, so now we have all these viruses. So here's what the 1889 Encyclopedia of Medicine by the ADA, or AMA, excuse me, American Medical Association, says. You've got the picornavirus, which is for polio. You've got, or myocarditis. You've got toga viruses, yellow fever, dengue, encephalitis. You've got orthomyxoviruses for influenza. You've got paramyxoviruses for mumps, measles, and rubella, which is why those are the same in the so-called vaccine, which is why measles, mumps, and rubella are put into the same vaccine. It's the same quote-unquote viral material that causes mumps, measles, and rubella. Doesn't mean you should go get a vaccine for it, okay? Arena viruses, Lassa fever, rhabdoviruses, rabies, right? Retroviruses are AIDS, degenerative brain diseases, etc. Various kinds of cancer come from retroviruses,
right?
Which is why people with HIV also develop a lot of cancer.
Right, exactly. Okay, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about these diseases and these viruses and what actually causes them. Okay, be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
All right, we are back. Thank you for joining us today. I've been doing a lot. I read a lot. I'm such a bookworm. I read all the time. Usually I have 5 or 6 books that I'm reading at one time. Anyway.
That's like my 50 websites I have up at the same time.
Yeah, it's okay. We know that 5% of all diseases today are from single gene disorders. 95% of all illnesses are related to lifestyle choices, chronic stress, and toxic factors in the environment. So 95% people, when we are under stress, we are going to have disease.
Well, and you have to define stress. You know, what kind of stress is there? How about malnutrition?
Yes, any kind of stress.
So if everybody's malnutritioned because of the horrible food selections that we've been given to consume, then, you know, you could say that everybody has at least that stress. And there's one other thing that I want to add to that when it comes to diet, because I don't want to forget to say this. Now, I don't want to be conspiratorial, and I don't want to, you know, I just find it, the timing to be very interesting for me. Because when it comes to viruses, the body, you know, viruses, I know you know this. And by the way, when it comes to energy medicine, they are killing the virus. They're killing it with ultraviolet light.
Right.
So that is energy medicine, if you think about it, in an externalized sort of way. So if you could do something with that as far as internal medicine, well then you'd have something special going on.
Right.
But the other
even near infrared sauna is an ultraviolet light.
Well,
right?
I mean, I would start looking into anything at this point, but the point I want to make here is that everybody has. Have you noticed how popular the ketogenic diet is? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, you want to lose weight? Keto works, okay? But then so does malnutrition, you know? So does,
right?
I mean, don't eat and you'll lose weight. That works too. There's all kinds of, hey, poison. Poison will work, right? We can poison ourselves, just throw up all day and, hey, we'll lose weight. Lots of things will make you lose weight. Doesn't mean it's healthy, right?
Yeah.
Now, what I find really interesting about that and the way that our diets have been specifically moved toward is stay away from the fruits and vegetables. Stay, you know, those are bad because those are carbs, and eat a lot of you know, fatty meats and all these oils and coconut oil, and coconut oil has so many bad things that I don't even want to get into it, but you know, all of these foods are acidic. They turn your body. In other words, the ketogenic diet is very acidic diet. Your body's chemistry turns acidic from a more neutral stance between acidic and alkaline. I've seen studies now that show that coronavirus specifically, at least in its natural form, and I think in this relevant current form, mutation, I should say, is very unhappy in anything above 6.0 on the alkalinity scale. So for those people who are eating a very an acidic diet, I would recommend right now to rethink that. Because if everybody's walking around acidic, that means everybody is much more susceptible to, you know, getting it and spreading it. And I'm just going to say that as a caveat to this, because I just find it odd that suddenly there's this big push to get the entire population to go on this sort of keto
right.
diet, and a very acidic diet, when that's what viruses love.
Yes.
So just saying, you know, you want to do something proactive, well, then you might want to look into something that causes you to, you know, a diet that causes you to be more alkaline. And that does not include alkaline water, because all alkaline water does is ruin the stomach acid. You want your acid in your stomach to be acidic.
Working.
You don't,
right.
Yeah. So you don't want to drink alkaline water. You know, that's, again, these fads are very dangerous when it comes to the nutrition. So I'll just leave it at that. You know, that's something I've been thinking about a lot. So we have all these different viruses. This is like saying, you know, I've got the arena virus, or the rhabdovirus, the retroviruses, the orthomyxoviruses, and all these different viruses. That's like saying, well, I've got the virus that infects your computer and forces you to pay it money, right?
Right.
And then
right.
I've got the virus that reprograms your computer so you can't turn it on.
Right.
Same thing, just different reaction, right?
Yes, absolutely. All righty, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
To live in harmony.
And our guest today is Clint Richardson. And we were talking about a lot of very interesting things.
those darn commercials.
Yes.
Well, so I just want to get this, because we come to coronavirus, right? We're adding the word in front of it. And corona, actually, it doesn't refer to beer, and it doesn't refer to, like, the corona of the sun, as some have speculated. It refers to the actual look of the virus, which is why they named it, because it's got a corona, the spikes and stuff that stick out. That's what they named it. Now, the amazing thing about this, and I want you to think about this for a moment, right? You got all these horrible things. Rhabdoviruses causes rabies and togaviruses, you know, yellow fever and dengue and all these horrible things, right? Polio. And then you have the cancer viruses. Well, what is coronavirus? Do you know? What does it cause? What is corona? How does nobody know what coronavirus causes? How is that possible with all of this craziness, all of this fear? What do you think, right? Because we said orthomyxovirus causes influenza, so we're not dealing with the flu. Coronavirus does not cause flu. So what does coronavirus cause? I'll bet you can't even guess, even though it's the most common thing everybody gets.
A cold.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. The 1989 American Medical Association Encyclopedia of Medicine says coronavirus causes one and only one thing, the common cold. Well, how did we go from then? And by the way, they say that 15 to 20% or so of all cases of what we call the flu, or we label as the cold or the flu, come from coronaviruses every year. It's very common. Most people will have some sort of either antibody or something in their body that shows you've been infected by coronaviruses. And in my documentary, this big long thing I'm doing, I actually show conclusively out of all these studies why vaccines are bad is they cause an allergic response. They don't cause an actual immunity as a normal, natural virus would. And what happens is we're supposed to get the cold, right? You have to rethink about what are these viruses? Why are they circulating? Why is it that all these things? Why do we get chicken pox as a kid? Why do we get the measles? Why did the Brady Bunch kids love the fact that they got measles? Because they didn't have to go to school and measles is harmless. Why are we so afraid of these things? Well, they've turned them into political weapons. They've altered them. They've done things to them that they're not natural anymore. But we're supposed to get these things, because when you get, like, let's take retroviruses, right? When you get a retrovirus, you're getting a reprogramming of the cell. You're getting a disease, which means, you know, your body's no longer at ease. It's no longer in its normal state. So when you get the chicken pox, when you get the flu, when you get the common cold, when you get mumps, measles, and rubella, when you get these diseases that you're supposed to get, because that's how nature works, you're getting an infusion of information straight from God, straight from nature, and it's reprogramming your genetic and epigenomic response to things. And so I got all these studies that show those who are not getting the natural diseases anymore, those who are not getting chickenpox or mumps and measles, those who are not getting these childhood diseases and thus expressing all the symptoms of the disease, whereas a vaccine will give you the dead version or the barely living version of the disease, which doesn't cause most of the time, doesn't cause the actual symptoms. You won't get the measles or the mumps, but you're getting an immune response, a temporary one, but it's not doing you any good because it's dead. It's not a biological life, a biological information that's going and reprogramming your cells. And what they've found over and over and over is the difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated kids is that the vaccinated kids who aren't getting these natural immunities and lifelong immunities from the natural disease, They're getting the vaccine version. They're the ones getting all the sickness. They're the ones getting all the cancers, all the autism, all these things, because we're not getting what nature is trying to give us. We've demonized the common cold. We've demonized measles, not realizing that because we get measles, we're then immune to all these different cancers and all these different... It reprograms our immune system. It reprograms our epigenomic structure. In other words, it flips switches like a garage door opener. It flips switches on and off and on and off to where you no longer would express cancer. You would not express the symptoms of many of these viruses or disease particles that would otherwise cause. So you're getting a natural immunity not only to influenza or to measles, you're getting immunity to all kinds of different diseases. And the reason why people are so sick today is because we're not getting that. We're not getting these diseases that are naturally we're supposed to get. Like the idea of a chickenpox party or something like that is just out of the question now, right? Because now we have science, and science does this, and we can vaccinate, right? The vaccines are literally killing us and making us sick because we're not getting that natural immunity from these things that everyone gets. If you're human, you're going to get the flu, the cold, etc. So in this way, we can stop fearing the natural or the wild-type virus. But we have to fear what they've done to those. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Right.
Coronavirus causes the common cold. It causes nothing else until you start looking in other species of animals, until you start saying, well, I'm a scientist and therefore I have some license to disobey the laws of nature. And I'm going to combine coronavirus with something like, oh, I don't know. How about a retrovirus? How about HIV? How about in the name of science, I take the coronavirus and I connect it, because I can't get a bat coronavirus, which has a specific spike and a specific receptor that it will not possibly infect a human. How about I stick, and this is actually what's happened, how about I stick HIV spikes? So in other words, male inserts into female. That's just, you know, those are not sexual terms. Those are scientific terms, right? I've got a spike, and that receptor in the body is going to then accept this coronavirus that would only otherwise infect bats or civets or certain types of animals. Now I've got a genetically altered virus that we're calling SARS coronavirus. Okay, the disease itself is called COVID-19.
Right.
That's not okay. That's like saying AIDS. AIDS is not a virus. AIDS is the third stage of HIV infection. All right. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe in the HIV thing, and I used to be one who would go down that flat earth mentality route, but I've seen too much now you can buy all these things is really the point. Anything you want, you can buy online at this point. It's frightening. I can buy antibodies. I can buy coronavirus. I can buy whatever monsters and chimeras they've created. I can buy it all online. You'd be frightened if you saw what you can purchase now online. You can buy your own CRISPR kits and genetically alter anything you want. It's crazy, right? It's chaos. And essentially, I'm surprised this hasn't happened before now. You know, so essentially what I'm trying to tell you from a study, and we're going to get into this in a serious way, they connected HIV in order to make bat coronavirus able to infect human cells, because they have completely different receptors. They're made completely differently because that's how nature intends it, right? The same way that my dog never gets the cold, even though he's licking my face and, you know, would eat my snot if I let him, because he loves me, right? He's not getting my flu or my, they're not made to cross species.
Right.
But what we find when we look at the so-called scientists who are absolutely, again, breaking the laws of nature, combining, they call it recombining or recombinant, right? They do this in the lab. And what this is called, it has a name, okay? And this is so important to understand because this is what has happened. Everything that they warned about, the reason they banned this type of research in the first place and then reinstated it and then banned it and then reinstated it, okay? Listen to this. U.S., this is from Nature Magazine, International Weekly Journal of Science, all right? Dated 22 October 2014. United States suspends risky disease research. 2014. Government to cease funding what is called gain of function studies that make viruses more dangerous pending a safety assessment. Okay? So there's the key word. And this is the word that I want you folks to type in. And what you're going to find is that gain of function refers to, when you type in, if you're looking for a definition of gain of function, it refers to mutation. Gain of function means mutation. So when the government ceases funding for gain of function studies, they're ceasing funding for mutation studies, purposefully mutating the virus, such as adding HIV receptors or spikes onto the coronavirus to make it to make an animal virus infectious to humans. Why do they do this? Now, keep in mind, this is research. These are scientists, right? So proud of themselves. This is what they do in a lab setting. My personal opinion on this is that what we're dealing with is something that escaped a lab. The very reason that the U.S. suspended this and the world suspended this research, and then they start doing it again. And you know, it's crazy what you see in these laboratory settings, what they do. This is the ultimate fear that something like this in a lab setting will actually escape the lab. And now you have a coronavirus with HIV spikes. And by the way, one of the first studies that came out was a full genomic study, the full DNA strain, and it showed that the coronavirus in China, that the coronavirus that was infecting and killing people has, they said it's basically looks like it looks like coronavirus and HIV have merged. They wow. pointed, and it points to, and this is all going to be in my documentary, right? This points to these specific spikes. Now, I took that and I said, that can't possibly be, right? And I went further and I started looking into it. And that's how I found all of these different studies that they're doing. And the whole point of this, okay, so take away intention for a moment. The whole purpose of doing this in the lab is to say, okay, what would happen if, just like in the movie Contagion, I mean, this is pretty much, I'm naming this thing Wagging the Dog, right? The story behind the story of this coronavirus, right? Wagging the Dog, because what they're doing follows the script for Contagion, the movie, mm-hmm. almost to a T. Different virus, same exact thing, right? There's even a point in the movie, and I crapped my pants when I saw this, okay? There's even a point in the movie where she says, okay, the virus has mutated, all right? Wanting you to think that, yes, viruses do mutate in nature, absolutely. In fact, they say that the flu virus is absolutely the most mutated virus. They cannot predict it, and yet we're supposed to believe they somehow predict what it's going to be months before it comes out, right? The whole thing is ridiculous. So they want you to believe, by putting out this propaganda-type movie, and that thing had such a huge budget, they want you to believe that these type of mutations happen in nature. A bat mixes, right, the end of the movie, to give you a spoiler alert, the end of the movie shows day one, and here's a bat. He gets a banana or some kind of fruit. He flies with the fruit. He's eating the fruit. He drops it, and a pig starts eating the same piece of fruit. And then that pig is selected by a chef. That chef takes that pig And it shows the chef preparing the pig, rubbing its mouth, and then suddenly that horrible actress, what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow, who's just absolutely horrible. She wants to meet the chef, and he comes out and shakes her hand, and that's how they say the virus was spread, right? Yeah. Which is exactly pretty much what they're telling us happened, right? This is from Wuhan. And by the way, the study that I'm talking about where they combined the HIV with the spikes happened in Wuhan. In combination, combination with other research facilities in Australia, but I mean, most of this stuff centers in this Wuhan lab, and this is where they're doing this research, right? So, always, I'm looking at this, going, "Holy crap!" So, what do they say in the movie? So, basically, they're saying, "Oh yeah, there's this horrible, like what you said, you know, they're selling just about every animal to eat,
right?"
Civets. Well, they used civets in this same study, and that's what they were blaming it on. Bats, right? Bat coronavirus. You can get all these things to eat. And what they're trying to convince you to believe is that by eating these things or by having these things together, that nature is somehow going to break all of its own laws, and it's going to combine. The bat is somehow going to combine with the mammal, the whatever it is, and then the mammal, because it's so close to human, is somehow going to grow a receptor that's going to infect humans.
Right.
It's just purely random, just an act of God.
Right.
No. And I'm here to tell you, no. No, 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 no. That's not how nature works. That is not how these things work. The only case where I see this happening is in gain-of-function studies where they purposefully take, in this case, a bat, cross it with a civet, then cross it with HIV, and now you have an unnatural, man-made virus that is infecting people.
All
right?
Okay,
and
so basically what you're saying, all cells have receptor sites on their exterior surface that receive information from outside their boundaries, which is what they have done, correct?
They have... In ways that I can't even put into perspective. That's why I read you this study. They suspect the research.
Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us. We are back with our guest today, Clint Richardson, and we're talking about viruses, we're talking about receptor cells, we're talking about mixing the receptor cells in animals with those of humans, and it just it's really terrible. You're talking about HIV, and oh my gosh.
Well, let me just read from this particular study. This was from 2008. I'll read you the name of the study here in a minute because I got my place right now.
Okay.
Use of human ACE2. Now, ACE2 is a receptor. It's a protein, in other words, that allows the communication to happen. Now, the problem with the bat virus is, or the bat coronavirus, is it can't use the ACE because it doesn't have the right sodium, you know, the right chemical balance to actually, it's like a key going into a lock, right? So if you consider that every cell in your body has a specific key, and that's called a receptor, and that's why, like, for instance, cancer viruses cannot attach to your cells. You have prions and other proteins that actually protect and block, and antibodies actually do the same thing. They, when your body produces the antibody, it goes in and it blocks it blocks the on the virus itself, I believe, or both, I can't remember, but it blocks the receptor. It would be like putting like metal or melting metal onto your key so that it no longer has the grooves that it'll fit into the receptor and unlock the key so that it can then transfer its information, its RNA or DNA. So that's basically what's happening. So what did they do? It says right here, the use of human ACE2 at bat RPACE2 for cell entry by different pseudoviruses.
Ah.
When HIV RP3S pseudovirus was used to infect HeLa cells expressing human ACE2 and bat ACE2, again, that's the receptor, only a low level of activity happened. And it goes on and explains the whole thing. I'm not going to get into the such detail right now because these are all terms that people aren't going to know, but I will do so in the documentary. And I'll go over this whole thing because it's really frightening when you hear what they've done. But you've got to remember, you know, you can't just say, oh, they created a bioweapon or they created this or created. They're doing this for research purposes, for gain of function. And in other words, for mutating something so that they can study what would happen if nature actually, you know,
could do this or would do this.
Right. If we created a biological weapon, how would we treat it? You know, that kind of thing. So it's like combining things that wouldn't happen in nature so you can see what will happen in a protected laboratory setting. That's what we're talking about. Now, whether they release this on purpose or on accident, I'm not here for that reason. Okay. All I want to do is correct people's information. I want people not to be fearful of this, but to know what it is and possibly understand what's happening.
Exactly. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back with our guest. Stay with us. A lot of really very, very important things that are really not based on science, but based on what people view as science. But if you really look at the way that our bodies are put together with neuropeptides and neurotransmitters and the other things that make up our brain and our immune system, which most people don't read about, then you would gain some sort of appreciation for what your body can and cannot do, and understand that what has been done is, well, it's kind of deliberate, and the timing too. We think, okay, COVID-19, that was meant to be introduced in December of, it was introduced in December of 2019 when a lot of people they got a cold or they have bronchitis or whatever. Anyway, Clint, go ahead with your...
Well, I call it anti-science, right? Anti-Christ, anti-this. It is not the study of nature. It is the manipulation of nature,
right,
in order to please whatever man is seeking to do. That's not science anymore. It's the best word I can come up with is anti-science.
Right.
Right? It's going against the purpose of science, which is defined as the study of nature. How does nature work? You don't understand how nature works by genetically altering it to a point where it cannot possibly go by itself. It's just that's not science anymore, and you know, I won't get on a tangent about this, but the fact that we're completely tolerant and apathetic towards this, and when I read these articles on how dangerous these gain of function studies are, you're gonna yeah, hopefully people will. I mean, I don't know what to say, Deanna. This needs to be at the forefront of the discussion right now, because they're hiding this. They're not talking about this. Here's what I want you to understand, because here's the most important part. The every study that you see out there talks about the ACE2, the protein that basically allows the coronavirus to attach. So the bat coronavirus can now attach to the human, right? Because it's manipulated. What was the word I used? It's morphed. And that's a man-made thing. So here's what it says. This study actually proves that what is happening right now can only be a man-made thing, because the bat coronavirus, which they're saying this came from, this report, here's what it says. We also demonstrated that the human SARS-CoV-S protein, cannot use bat RPACE2 as a functional receptor. All right, right here, they demonstrated that a human SARS coronavirus cannot use the same receptors as a bat coronavirus. It is impossible in nature for that to happen. Okay? The only way they could do this was to do what this report goes on to say, which is to use HIV receptors or the spikes in order for the bat information to connect to the ACE2 molecule, so that the bat virus can be transferred into the bat information can be then transferred, right? This is like a bad virus on your computer that your computer would otherwise not accept. They say it right there. That is the main, that's the most important sentence, this whole thing, that the human SARS-CoV cannot use the ACE receptors that bats use, okay? It's impossible. Yet, here's what the report says. And it says this, the COVID or the coronavirus spike glycoproteins are responsible for cellular receptor recognition, cell tropism, and host specificity. Our previous results showed that the SL-CoVs identified in bats are similar to SARS-CoV in genome sequence and organization. So, again, we're talking about something natural. It was put into a lab and reorganized. The key difference between these two groups of closely related viruses lies in their S protein sequences, specifically the RBM, in which there are two deletions in the bat SL-CoV-S sequences. In other words, if you imagine a key that fits into a lock, there are deletions of those little things that would trip the lock in order for, so you got the wrong key. I'm a bat virus, and so I can't infect. I can't unlock the cell and transfer my RNA code to reprogram your cell and cause you to basically cause your whole body to go into these, shocks, basically. Bad programming. Right? From previous published studies indicating the importance of the structural fit between the receptor ACE2 and the S protein of SARS-CoV variants, and the sensitivity of S proteins to point mutations, it is speculated that SL-CoV-S is unlikely to use ACE2 as a receptor for cell entry unless the bat ACE2 homolog is significantly different from those of other mammals. So how do you accomplish that? Well, this whole study, here's how they did it. Now remember, they're doing this for gain of function. They're gaining knowledge by doing something really freaking evil, which is to allow or to purposefully cause the bat ACE2 to connect with the human. So the male and the female suddenly fit, right? If a dog and a cat have sex, they don't have babies, right? Because there's you can't. It's just not going to happen because they're two different species. Well, these are two different species of viral material that cannot connect. To address the unanswered question, we cloned and expressed the bat ACE2 gene and examined the abilities of ACE2 proteins from human palm civet and some other animal to support infection by HIV-based pseudoviruses containing different S protein constructs. And there again, their results indicated that the bat and the human could not connect. And this report is how they were successful in this laboratory setting of doing just that. Now remember, there was one of the first reports that came out, which was withdrawn, it's retracted, was that they found in China early on in like January or December that the coronavirus had HIV spikes on it. And because that study was not peer reviewed in the correct way, they said, well, we're going to take that away. And I haven't heard anything about it since. Now, let's go back, because now we know that officially this has been done. It is reported on. You can pull the study up yourself. And there are countless studies showing the same thing. Now, let's go back to our Nature magazine, the International Weekly Journal of Science. U.S. suspends in 2014 risky disease research. Government to cease funding of gain-of-function studies that make viruses more dangerous, which is exactly what we just discussed. Now you go down a little bit, and it says outbreaks of influenza have prompted research into strains with pandemic potential. Now, you hear that, and your mind instantly goes, conspiracy, conspiracy. But no, what they're doing is they're doing this in a laboratory-controlled setting. It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly known within their anti-science community that they're doing this, right? This is a known entity, obviously, because they're reporting on it. They're saying they're suspending it. Like I'm not just talking out of my ass, is what I'm trying to say here. I'm not making this up.
Right.
Okay, the U.S. government surprised many researchers on 17 October when it announced that it will temporarily stop funding new research that makes certain viruses more deadly or transmittable. The White House Office of Science and Technology Policy is also asking researchers who conduct such gain-of-function experiments on influenza, severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, and Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, to stop their work until a risk assessment is completed, leaving many unsure of how to proceed. All right, what did they just tell you here? They stopped the exact research that happened in 2009 that I just read from that study. They stopped it. Why? And they stopped it from influenza, which, you know, that's bird flu. Remember bird flu? Mm-hmm. Severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS. Well, what is the... Remember, the full name of the current COVID-19 disease, COVID is like AIDS. It's a description of the symptoms. The actual disease is called SARS-CoV whatever. Okay, SARS is in the name. Why is that important? Because if you remember from my documentary, SARS was added to the list of diseases that allows the government to shut down everything, to cause a national emergency, and right, to force vaccination.
Right.
Okay, that's in U.S. code. So naturally, they're going to say, oh, this is definitely SARS, even though the Chinese government later came out and said, hey, could we not call this SARS? It has nothing to do with SARS. It's something completely different. It's novel, in other words, meaning it's new, and we shouldn't call it SARS. But they had to name it SARS because that's what they put into the law that allows them to declare a national emergency and force vaccinate and do all these things. Take over General Motors and force them to do, you know, that's a part of the Communist Manifesto, to take over all production, right? It's all there. See, once the emergency is declared, then the Communist Manifesto, all the things in it it's already law, but there has to be a war or an emergency, which is a war against the emergency. It's all there. This is the perfect, what do you call it? The perfect tool to put on people to cause all of these bylaws that don't take any effect unless there's war or an emergency declared. And when the war or emergency is declared, as I've said so many times, I've warned people about this for over 10 years, right? You could read about it in Congress. The Constitution is suspended. It's basically martial law, or what they call the military rule. Military rule is basically peacetime martial law. Martial law happens when the marshals of law are caused or called out in wartime, and emergency, a state of emergency, is the same thing as a declaration of war. It has the same exact power. All law is suspended, and it's said to be under the law of necessity, and necessity knows no law. That is a maxim of law. Necessity knows no law. At this point, you are under martial law, called, I mean, it's really military rule. As long as you're voluntarily doing all of this, it's military rule, which is why there's military bases in all the states. Right, that's the first. That's the number one.
Right.
That's the number one Libra code. If you have a military base in your state, so in other words, the United States being foreign to the state has a military base in the state. Hey, guess what? That means you're basically under martial law, under the military rule. That's. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is what I've been warning people about for all this time. So now we've got this perfect state. I mean, I don't want to say it's staged. And I don't want to say it was a purposeful release, but even if it was an accidental release, what do they say, Deanna? Don't let a good emergency go to waste.
Oh, right, yes, Rahm Emanuel. Right? Yes.
So, right, so whether this was purposeful or accidental, we know the creation of it is purposeful. This happens all the time in labs across the world, gain-of-function experiments. All right, and it says it right here. They're asking researchers who conduct gain-of-function experiments on influenza and SARS and MERS to stop their work until a risk assessment is completed. I mean, are you starting to put the pieces together here?
Yes, yes.
Do you hear anything from me that is not sourced?
No.
Okay.
That's what I like about your work.
Right. So this is why I want people to – I want you to lose the fear of the unknown, because if we know, or at least we have a – I mean, at this point, I'm 99% sure this is what's happening, and I'll tell you why. In fact, maybe I should mention that right now, just because I think what people are – I mean, I hate to say this. In fact, I'm just going to say this is purely – this is purely speculative from all the research I've done. I think people are not getting I think the coronavirus is mixed with the HIV rise. I think people are going through seroconversion for HIV. I think the body, because when you get AIDS, it takes 2 to 4 weeks. I'm sorry, when you get HIV, it takes 2 or 4 weeks for the body to go through a process where it realizes that HIV is in the body. It floods the body with T cells or CD4 cells, which are designed to attack and get rid of the HIV virus. But the HIV virus is designed by either nature or man, I don't know, to actually infiltrate the T cells and cause them to become basically hosts for new HIV cells, right? So it connects to the HIV or the CD4 cell, or the T cell connects to the HIV, thinking it's gonna inject something that's gonna kill it, information, right? But then through that receptor, there's a different transcript going through that downloads the DNA or RNA structure. I think it's DNA of the AIDS or the HIV virus, and the HIV then the T cell, like I said, I got so much going through my head, the T cell basically births or becomes or generates new HIV. So the body floods your you know, thinking it's fighting a regular virus, but instead by creating so many T cells at the outset, you're actually, the body's being tricked into basically helping the HIV. And if you look at all the symptoms, and again, I'm speculating here. I the reason I'm saying this like without actually knowing is because I want people to be aware of this, that this is very possibly what we're going through is a aerosolized or you know, a gain of function thing where coronavirus and possibly other viruses and HIV are combined. And I think, to me, it sounds like what people are going through is the first stage of seroconversion. And seroconversion simply means the body is producing for the first time, is detectable, producing HIV antibodies, right? That's what seroconversion means. If you look at any vaccine, that's how they judge if the vaccine works, is when you seroconvert, right? Your body creates antibodies. That doesn't mean you're getting immunity. It just means you're creating antibodies. It has nothing to do with lifelong immunity. It's just, I mean, if you were to step on a nail, your body would create antibodies. If you were to get a splinter or some disease, your body would create antibodies. Doesn't mean you're getting immunity the way vaccines work. So, because all the information is not there. I know I'm going all over the place, but I'm really freaked out right now. I'll tell you some of the coincidences. For one thing, these lesions that they're seeing, these febrile things they're seeing in lungs, right? People can have no other symptoms, and yet their lungs are full. Well, that happened with HIV. That's what happens. People who die in the first stage of HIV, they're getting these, you know, same things in their lungs. They're having, and if you think about why are people getting pneumonia? Why are people getting these diseases that would not get if they were actually, if their immune system was strong? Well, right. If your T cells and all the things that would fight are being diminished, therefore your immune system is being compromised. Well, then yeah, you're going to get this type of pneumonia. You have nothing to fight it because you've been, again, infected with this, and your body starts that seroconversion process. The same symptoms for seroconversion are for HIV are what you're seeing out there, especially the fact that you've got people that are asymptomatic. Some people don't show signs of HIV for years.
Right.
Yet they can still infect other people.
Exactly. All righty. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
All righty, we are back with our guest. Our guest is Clint Richardson. We're talking about HIV. We're talking about receptor cells. We're talking about natural immunity. And while you were talking, I was thinking about dogs and cats don't interbreed, and they don't produce a combination of both. And I was thinking also about but this is not a good thing to think about, of course. But there are groups of people who actually have sex with animals, which, of course, they do not produce offspring. And a thought that...
You know, thank God for that.
Yeah. Because apparently it's very popular in some...
Well, Dan, I didn't know you wanted to get all kinky. We could talk about let's talk
I'm
about
sorry.
We could talk
you're
about
the one that started it. With
we could talk about clown cat. Sex, clown sex, midget sex. Which one do you want to get into? No, yeah. So here's another interesting tidbit. You know, think about this. Okay, what is the most understood thing about the common cold? What do people always say? If I go to a doctor and say, "Doctor, I think I have a cold," what is he going to say?
Eat chicken soup, take care of yourself, just take it easy.
In other words,
it'll go away.
Think about this. How dangerous is this? There isn't no cure for the common cold.
Right.
How many times have you heard that? There is no cure for the common frickin' cold. Why would you then take the virus that causes the common cold and make it pandemic, which is what they do in a laboratory setting? There is no cure for the common cold. And am I making that clear, Deanna?
Right. Yes.
Okay. I think that's the most relevant part of this. So let's go on here with this report.
They shouldn't even give you any kind of antibiotic or anything, because it isn't relevant. It's not a bacterial infection. It's just something that happens.
And that's something you might also say about, you know, this documentary I'm making shows that doctors are the cause of almost all disease.
Right.
Mostly because they are the ones that prescribe drugs that cause disease. Right. So, you know, the one study came out not that long ago. It showed doctors cause 1/3 of all deaths, iatrogenic medicine. But that is actually didn't include the cancers and the COPD and all those things that they're causing, but through all these drugs that they prescribe, they're actually the number one. They're number one cause of bankruptcy. And guess what? Doctors don't cure anything. This is the trick.
They're not even supposed to say cure.
No.
They treat. They don't cure. They treat.
Right. So think about it. What is the only thing that gives them any kind of credit for doing anything about disease whatsoever? It's either surgery, right? Where you go in and you basically you get it, right?
Cut, poison, or burn.
Right. Well, but what else? What's the one thing that they can say, oh, well, I can cure a disease? And that is antibiotics.
Right.
That's the one thing that gives them any credit whatsoever. That's the amazing part about it. And that's only because they're the only ones that have the power of what's called prescription. If you look up prescription, it is the highest power that government has. If you have the power of prescription, you are essentially God. Prescription is a term that refers to land. If you're prescribed land, you're given you have the highest power when you are a prescriber of something, right? So the fact that these guys have that power of prescription, and yet they're the cause of almost all disease and death in the country, right, in the world, I find, there's something extremely wrong, and I, you know, this is a big part of my documentary that I'm covering, that the faith we have in the medical institutions is so unwarranted. It's amazing. So we're basically saying, hey, you who created this problem, why don't you come up with a solution? Right? Why don't you, not a cure, because you can't cure the common cold. You can't cure anything.
Right. They treat it. They don't cure anything.
Right.
They treat
the symptoms. You're not going to get anywhere by treating symptoms. It's not going to do anything. So critics of such work, meaning gain of function experiments, argue that it is unnecessarily dangerous and risks accidentally releasing viruses with pandemic potential. This is not Clint Richardson. This is not my opinion. This is the opinion of governments who are ceasing and shutting down these experiments out of Nature magazine.
Right. Okay, we will be right back. Guest is Clint Richardson, and we are talking about some very important things. We're talking about allopathic medicine that does not cure anything. They're not allowed to even say the word cure. They have a substandard of care. They treat They have the power to write prescriptions. They have a license that was given to them by the American Medical Association, their labor union, which was created in Chicago quite some time ago. Anyway, we're back with Clint.
And probably the worst thing that nobody really considers is that they're insured for malpractice. Do you know what mal actually means? When you say practice and then you put mal in front of it, it means evil. It means bad. So they're actually insured for all the wrong that they do. Oh, it's okay. We have insurance. We'll pay you in money, even though we've maimed you or killed your child or your parent, right? The whole thing is ridiculous, right? How can you possibly put a price on harming people? It's ridiculous. The other thing is they take no oath. The whole oath, there is no oath. It's a lie.
Right.
And you know why? This is not to put down the men or women that are doing this. It's just to say that at any oath, if you look up the word oath, an oath is to God and God only. And in other words, it's a moral thing. You have to believe. You have to actually be the one that stops doing bad things because you took an oath to God to do no harm. But there is no – do no harm is even part of the oath. That's a fallacy.
Right.
So if you're taking an oath, you're doing it to God. This is why in the Bible it says take no false oaths. So – the only power that an oath actually has is the man's will and desire to keep that oath that he made to his God. That is it. That's all. That's all you got. And that's why things are so bad. Because I mean, do you see the Bible anywhere in doctor's offices? No. No, do you see, you don't see it. There's no moral, and as we discussed, we're not talking about, this is anti-medical, this is anti-science, this is anti-health that we're talking about. This is far beyond, and I show this in the documentary. Wait till you see DNA. Remember the whole thing I did on my blog with the doctors promoting cigarettes and alcohol.
Oh yes, that was that was fun.
Well, I took all those pictures and I set it to a little song, and just to do a little, give you a sense of that everything bad that's ever been said to be good and is actually bad was promoted and advertised by doctors, and it's very important to remember one thing, that every drug that has been bad, caused illness or death, right, was first approved to be safe and effective by the FDA.
Right.
Every single bad thing that's ever come out as far as drugs from pharmaceutical companies, which are just chemicals, right, they've all been approved as safe and effective by the FDA. And who's handling the current, who's handling our food ingredients? Who's handling the whole thing is a big, giant fraud. And I realize that your listeners know that in at least a general way. But I'm telling you, by the time I get finished with them, there's nothing they can say. There's nothing to defend what I've put in this documentary. But we'll go on because I really want you to hear the full impact of this, because this should. If this doesn't activate people to do something about this, I don't know what will. Critics of such work that is gain of function, am I gonna get interrupted before I start reading this?
No, go ahead.
All right. Critics of such work argue that it is unnecessarily dangerous and risks accidentally releasing viruses with pandemic potential. Sound familiar? Such as, and here's the example. An engineered H5N1 influenza virus that easily spreads between ferrets breathing the same air. In 2012, such concerns prompted a global group of flu researchers to halt gain-of-function experiments. The debate reignited in July after a series of lab accidents involving mishandled pathogens at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. The White House's abrupt move seems to be a response to renewed lobbying by gain-of-function critics. Well, yeah, So here's where it gets really screwed up, man. Gotta get there. The researchers somehow are confused. Viruses are always mutating, of course, in nature. And the question is how much mutation deliberately created by scientists might be reasonably anticipated to make a virus more dangerous. The point at which the White House states research must stop. The government says that this point will be determined for individual grants in discussions between funding officers and researchers. Now here, listen to this. One of the most prominent laboratories conducting gain-of-function studies is run by Yoshihiro Kawaka, a flu researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. In 2012, Kawaka published a controversial paper reporting airborne transmission of engineered H5N1 flu between ferrets. He has since created an H1N1 flu virus using genes similar to those from the 1918 pandemic strain to show how such a dangerous flu could emerge. The engineered H1N1 was transmissible in mammals and much more harmful than the natural strain. Now, let's just... I mean, this is like, hey, a child saying, what would happen if I picked the wings off this fly? What would happen if I held a magnifying glass up to the sun and then focused that beam on a bunch of ants? Right? This is the most insane shit I've ever seen. I had no idea that it was this prevalent, that they're taking every possible disease you've actually heard of and saying, well... God, I wonder what would happen if we made it pandemic.
Right.
But we'll control it in the lab, even though, and you know, we'll get into more of these. I'm like tripping out here that this is so messed up. He says, Kawaka says that he plans to comply with the White House directive to halt current research, etc. Let me go to this one. All right. Nature magazine. Now this is 2013 in December, so this is like 6-7 months before that article that I just read. All right, scientists call for urgent talks on a mutant flu research in Europe, and the tagline says benefits and risks of gain of function work must be evaluated. They say now. What are they saying? Benefits and risks of purposeful mutation of natural things must be evaluated. Because that's what gain of function. That's what gain of function means, right?
Yes. Wow.
Now, here's the tag. Here's the picture, biohazard. And it says some scientists are concerned that gain of function research could result in the accidental release of a mutant pathogen. Now, I'm here to tell you, Deanna and listeners, this is so much more prevalent. This is happening all around the world, and it's very much happening in Wuhan, which is exactly where they did the research, the gain-of-function research, the mutations of the COVID coronavirus, the SARS coronavirus, and the HIV. Receptors. Okay, that's where the report says the research was done. Wuhan, China. Is that a coincidence? I would say that it's more of a conspiracy theory to say that it's a coincidence than not a coincidence, right?
Right.
So a group of over 50 researchers in Europe has called to put a hold on scientific research that involves engineering microbes to make them more deadly. I mean, what else do I have to say here, right? It says gain-of-function research into highly pathogenic microbes with pandemic potential has global implications for public health, says Ian Lipkin, an infectious disease researcher at Columbia University in New York. We are not seeking to shut down all gain-of-function research, but asking that stakeholders meet to establish guidelines for doing it. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Stakeholders who stand to profit from the research should get together and decide whether it's good or not. See, this has gone. This has gone so far into the state of anti-science, of chaos.
Right.
Right. That there is. I mean, I don't know what to say here. If you people out there that are listening, if you ever think that these people who are allowing this type of research, which includes Anthony Fauci, you think they don't know this? If you think these people are going to protect you or save you when they're allowing this, knowingly allowing this to happen when they know that, you know, I mean, how many times do you hear of some biological weapon being released? Here's another example, July 2014. NIH, National Institutes of Health, where Fauci is the head of, finds forgotten smallpox store. Remember that?
Right.
A 60-year-old ampule contains smallpox DNA, and it is unclear whether the virus is viable. I mean...
Wow.
Right? You look at these, and you're like, what the hell is going on? 2014, July... Safety lapses in U.S. government labs spark debate. Head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention pledges comprehensive sweeping change after incidents involving influenza and, anthrax. Remember anthrax?
Yes.
Well, all of this, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has revealed several recent safety lapses in its facilities that conduct research on deadly pathogens. I mean, we could go on and on. And on. This is just, you know, here's another one. This is January of 2013. This was after they initially suspended this type of work. Headline. Work resumes on lethal flu strains. Study of lab-made viruses is a public health responsibility. A moratorium on research that modifies the potential virulence of avian influenza virus has now been lifted. So they said, okay, we're going to stop you from creating virulent strains, pandemic strains, very harmful, destructive strains of avian influenza. In other words, making them infectious to humans where they wouldn't be in nature. This is saying that that moratorium has now been lifted in 2013, which leads to the 2014 moratorium that we just read.
Right. And I know someone that was in the area where they introduced, or they said that the bird flu was really widespread. There was nothing there. Nobody was ill. It was just something that they announced to scare everyone. Because the person was there and he said, nobody was sick here. What are they saying? And that was under...
Gain-of-function research is specifically, as I hear it says it right here, to discuss gain-of-function research that intended to increase the transmittability, host strains, or virulence.
Right.
In H5N1 viruses. Right. So, I mean, what is the purpose of these to make, you know, what are we dealing with right now? Why is the common cold virus that causes the common cold suddenly deadly? Well,
right.
Why did we have SARS? Why did we have MERS? Do you think those were natural mutations? When I'm reading to you that they're in the laboratories creating SARS.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional here, but how can we sit on our asses and let this happen and let these people who are creating the thing be the ones responsible for, you know, when we know there's no cure for the common cold?
Right.
But my main concern right now, Deanna, is that what we're dealing with, either accidental or purposeful, seems to be HIV, related in some way to HIV. Now, whether HIV has been aerosolized or combined with something else to make it more virulent, which would not be at all unreasonable because that's what they do in a lab to study it, right? It actually makes a really evil, you know, mad scientist kind of logic to do that. That has gotten out of the lab either purposeful or I'm not floating any theories in that direction. But here's another, like, all these anecdotal things I'm starting to see. And then I'm going to read you some something else that's going to trip you out. Okay. Guess what? People are reporting, and they're starting to say now, that one way you can tell if you have either the flu, and remember, influenza is a completely different virus, has nothing to do with this, whether you have the flu or the common cold or the coronavirus, whatever the current, you know, COVID-19, one way you can tell is that people are reporting that they're losing smell and taste sensation.
Well,
guess what? That is what 64% of HIV patients report when they seroconvert. Right. They lose taste and smell. Now, do you think that's a coincidence? No one that gets the common cold reports that, right? And that's one of the reasons why people are you know, you get into wasting disease and all that, because you've lost your imagine trying to eat without tasting the food or enjoying the food. That's one of the problems with the HIV virus, the AIDS, is, you know, you start wasting away because you're not hungry. You are hungry, but you have no taste. You have no smell. A lot of people report that. Some people don't even realize it's happened. So, you know, all these little anecdotal things that have just happened to be the symptoms of HIV infection or seroconversion. How can I not tell this to people?
Right. Right. Okay, we will be right back. Back with Clint Richardson, and we're talking about some of the a common cold and some of the things that you can do, and people losing their appetites and whatever. When you have a cold, when I have a cold, I sometimes lose my appetite and I just want to drink a lot of fluids, which is what people should be doing, drinking a lot of fluids, making sure that they're properly hydrated. And so that is how you treat a common cold. And that's what we've always done. But go ahead, and we're talking about, you have another thing that you wanted to talk about.
I just want to, this solidifies the whole thing right here. Same journal, International Weekly Journal of Science called Nature. And this is in 12 November 2015. Okay? Now, what's so funny about this is there is an active campaign right now to cease people like me from talking about this. Here's the editor's note that they added to this in March 2020. We are aware that this story is being used as the basis for unverified theories that the novel coronavirus causing COVID-19 was engineered. There is no evidence that this is true. Scientists believe that an animal is the most likely source of the coronavirus. All right, so that's their disclaimer. That's their editor's note. Right, so naturally that means you shouldn't listen to anything I've done, because, you know, I'm just a conspiracy theorist, right?
Right.
Even though okay, so what's the name of the article that they put that on? Here it is. November 2015. Engineered bat virus stirs debate over risky research. Lab-made coronavirus... lab-made coronavirus related to SARS can infect human cells.
From 2015. Wow.
I mean, okay. Now, What do you do with that? And then the next thing it says, editor's note, we're aware that this story is being used for unverified theories that this was engineered. But the title is Engineered Bat Virus Stirs Debate Over Risky Research. Lab-made coronavirus related to SARS can infect human cells.
Right.
But you're saying this without verifying that it was engineered.
Well, the government relies on people remaining ignorant and getting all of their news from national TV or from the FDA, which does absolutely no research. They've been around for a long time. They are protecting the corporations, and including the medical corporations. So it's amazing. The ignorance of people is amazing, and that was from 2015. Wow.
In an article published in Nature Medicine on the 9th of November of 2015. Oh, there's the music again.
Wow. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. Oh, I can't believe it. We're at the top of the hour. Okay, we'll be right back after a short little break. Break. I was thinking about the what is happening, and stress causes fear. Fear causes illness, and is currently isolating people so that we're really not communicating with each other, or on a very limited basis. The cure, the or the remedy for what the government is creating is the very thing that is causing illness and isolation and fear and stress and the situation that we're all now faced with toilet paper apocalypses and all this nonsense that we're seeing.
Like I said, man, this is a let's face it. Government is not that different from religion. It's a faith-based belief that it's good, right? And that it follows its source. Like, we have the whole patriotism, the whole idea that government is still under the Constitution and that we're all, and it's all a lie. Religion has nothing to do with the Bible, and government has nothing to do with the Constitution or law. It's that's not our system. So we're in a faith-based, and this is what I'm trying to, I'll say it. I'm trying to destroy that faith because it's anybody who thinks that faith is possibly warranted will not think so after my documentary, but shouldn't think so after what we're reading here either. So,
now when is that going to be available?
Well, I've been working on it for so long. I'm going to start releasing it in parts because it's going to be over. It's going to be like a 40-hour presentation. This is like a college course on.
Okay.
On the whole history of everything that has to do, how vaccines, what vaccines do, but not just vaccines, the whole medical industry, drugs, eugenics, one of the things I was really surprised to find, and it explains so much, is the fact that universities are not only responsible for eugenics, it's where it started from.
Right.
And many of them have apologized for it. So you can't really get around that and say, no, that's not true. But they're universities are in a constant battle because guess what? You notice all this research is done at universities?
Right. They get paid to do the to support the medical industry, and then the university gets money.
And, no, it's much, much, much worse than that.
And then they privatize the – there's a lot of privatization that's going on.
So education, university system is basically in several different businesses, education being probably the lowest.
Right.
You know, they don't give a crap about – that's all prestige. That's all trickery, illusion, delusion, right? I want to go to Harvard because Harvard – the name Harvard is prestigious, which means magic, trickery, okay? But in the background, they have several businesses going on. One of those is the patent business. Okay,
They're not
just doing the research; they're patenting. And if you read, and I show this in the documentary, if you read about the patenting process, you're going to find that they're suing each other left and right, trying to say, "No, we patented this. We did this first, but we helped each other, so we're both." They're in the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars of patents going on in the university. That's where their money is. That's where they're making the money. They're not making the education thing is complete. It's I wouldn't even say it's secondary. It's way down there in importance. It's an excuse to allow what's essentially an Elisa Minori, a charitable organization to become a nonprofit to become a for-profit business. It's basically what it is.
They also have to alter something that is natural in order to put a patent on it.
Right.
And this patent process began decades ago under Hoover, and when he was in charge of he was Secretary of Commerce. This is back in the 1920s. This has been going on for a long time.
Sure.
And you have to see, okay, who's putting all these patents on things, and what are they doing to change it? It's so awful.
It should be – I mean, all those patents that are held by universities should be made public domain instantly.
Absolutely.
Because what that means is – and when I say public domain, I mean no one's going to get profit. You're a university. You're supposed to be doing this for people, not for yourself, right? So if you took away all those patent rights from universities, which are public organizations, right? You would then not have any issues. Like, for instance, if I want to get a certain line of cancer to study it, to create a drug or whatever to cure it. Well, then I have to go to a certain university and ask permission. If they don't give me permission to use the cancer that they created, then I can't do anything. I'm stuck.
Right.
And this is the same reason that I'm on this show right now. I'm telling you, you folks need to take what I'm saying right now and take it into your own hands, because no one's going to do it for you. You need to spread this. You need to understand what's happening. You need to be aware that maybe, if you get this thing, or even if you don't, because you might not show any symptoms, that you might show. I mean, I would recommend CD4, T-cell tests. I would recommend, I don't know if this is causing actual HIV. I don't know if the body's responding. But here is the big clue that that's making me think, yeah, this is actually an HIV epidemic that we're going through right now. And here is let me pull that up, because I think this is ultra important. I gotta find it real quick. I'm sorry. How are they treating people? What is it that they're using to treat people who have, who have this so-called COVID-19?
Right.
What are they using? And I've got several studies here. They're using HIV drugs.
Wow.
Yes. HIV drugs that specifically target the receptors, the spikes, the very thing that make the HIV contagious. In other words, the transmitter, if you will, that sends the RNA or the DNA into the host cell. That's what HIV drugs do. They block those specific receptors. Why are they using that for a coronavirus? Unless,
right?
I mean, how can I not ask that question? Right? How can we sit here and be like, well, wait a minute. If HIV drugs are being tested and used and successful, which they are. Now, the problem with HIV drugs is if you read about them, they're always combined with other drugs. Like, they don't work by themselves. They have to be combined with a bunch of other crap, which is why people are so sick and they have so many side effects. Because you're really poisoning yourself. I mean, these are chemicals, right? They're not natural. They're chemicals made, you know, in some factory in China or India. And they're patented, right? So HIV drug to be trialed on coronavirus patients to see if it can fight COVID-19. Why? Why would you do that? You know, this is the 23rd of
right.
March. Why are you using an HIV drug? It doesn't make sense. There's hope. By the way, there's home HIV tests that you can buy for pretty cheap. I'm just putting this out there. Kanika Kapoor, she tests. That's not the one I want. Sorry. China HIV patients risk running out of AIDS drugs in days. So people have heard that HIV drugs are working. They're hoarding them. And then now HIV patients in China can't get HIV drugs, AIDS drugs. Now, am I crazy? Am I a conspiracy theorist? Well, you can call me whatever you want, but I'm not going to stop talking about this. I can't believe that nobody is really putting this out. I can't believe they're not talking about this. And I mean, I understand that it would mean, you know, this means war, right? I mean, this is a serious, serious thing. But you cannot just ignore all of this evidence, right?
Right. Right.
Doctors.
But they don't talk about this. They don't talk about this. They talk about the tests. They say you have to have these tests, and what are they testing for? Who developed the test? It just seems that they are really pushing isolation and a test. They're pushing they will arrest you in Chicago. If you are downtown, if you're on the street without permission, they will arrest you and take you into custody. That's
impossible. We live in a free country.
No.
Oh, you fools.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, this is, I mean, like I said, all these different things, the point to, you know, if you've got a bunch of different studies going on and people actually getting better from being treated by antiretroviral medications used to fight HIV, ritonavir and lopinavir and all these, you know, you're hearing the name, but they're not really telling you
what it's for.
Right. And so I'm going, wow. What
specifically was this designed for, and why are people being treated for it? And anything that the government okays or puts a rubber stamp on, you have to suggest that they have control over it, and they have changed it to the point that they have a patent on it so that they can use it for whatever purpose they desire. So it's, you have to figure out, okay, who owns the patents for these? Who created them? For what purpose? What does Bill Gates have to do with it?
Well, I don't have it in front of me, but I know that they've already patented this virus. That's
right.
The reason they go, right? You think they're just going to create, sequence the whole DNA or genomic structure, right, and then not lay claim to it? I mean, right. No, of course not. They've already patented it. Someone sent me the patent, but I don't know what I did with it. So, I mean, it's
all right. Yeah, I think I have a copy of that too.
My whole function here, again, I don't want to cause people fear, but I do want to cause a healthy, you know, if you will, awareness.
Speculation.
But is it speculation?
You want to create some evidence. You want to create an awareness of what is going on so that people do not accept something that is very dangerous, something that will impact their immune system forever, for as long, you know, for however long they live. This is your body, and it goes back to the Affordable Health Care Act, your body is no longer yours. If they have created a drug that is supposed to help your immune system, in as much as you are under the Affordable Health Care Act, legally, they have the ability to say, you will take this drug, because essentially they own your body. You no longer have a choice. They own your body under that law that was passed under Obama. Okay?
Yeah, like I said, the fact that we're allowing this to happen. Now, Bill Gates, you mentioned Bill Gates, and I'm sure, you know, you either love him or hate him, depending on how knowledgeable you are about what he does and what his history is. But, you know, he's pushing these vaccines and at the same time trying, you know, he's behind the digital digital.
Oh, absolutely. And right, won't allow his children to use his products, but he encourages other people's children to get vaccinated. He doesn't vaccinate his own children. No. His own children do not use technology. When they sit at the dinner table, they're not playing with their cell phones. They're having conversations like the rest of us should be having without all these EMFs. Electromagnetic frequencies. They're not doing what they want everybody else to do. Okay, that's number one. Obviously, there's some problems here.
Well, and part of his, you know, they're always talking about this smart dust or these smart particles or whatever, and something about putting those into the vaccine so that you can tell if someone is vaccinated by
the
presence of these smart particles, which, I mean, that should scare the hell out of people, right? Because that means they'll stop you on the street and quarantine you or contain you or force you to take the vaccine right there. This is all, you know, when you boil down and you look up, for instance, Identity 2020, where Bill Gates is like, there's over a billion people on Earth that don't have the digital identity, which I call the mark of the beast.
Right.
Right. And then the Agenda 2030, which is to identify all people on Earth, give them the mark of identity, digital identity. The whole plan, if you will, the whole the long game is becoming more clear, I think, with this particular, like we said, this pandemic, as they're calling it, is pretty much the gateway to all the crap that they want to do. It opens up all these laws that are considered null and void unless there's a war or an emergency. We talked about that. So, right. I mean, you're talking about, I don't know what the correct term is for it, but this is scary stuff.
Right. It's incremental. It started with the Libra Code way, way back. Started right after the so-called Civil War, when you, and you've talked about corporations, and certainly the corporations had certain laws or certain, they took on the personality. Okay, you couldn't sue a corporation, you couldn't do this. So it's incremental, so people don't notice all this stuff that's going on because they're busy trying to take care of their families, trying to do what people do. So Yes, it goes back a long way. It didn't just happen. It didn't happen overnight or in a year's time or in 50 years' time. It started early on.
Yeah, this is, like I said, I don't know what it's going to take, if there is anything that will actually wake up the beast that we possibly could be. But if anything is going to do it, this is it. I mean, this is probably, this to me, they've pulled the trigger. This is, whether this is the final or the beginning of whatever it is, we're at the end here, right? This is, if we sit back and we tolerate and have apathy for this, then we are, as Aristotle says, a dying society, because those are the last virtues of a dying society, tolerance and apathy. If we just sit and let this... I'm sorry, but I can't just sit back and know that they've done this on purpose, at least in a lab setting, and that they're not telling us that's what this is. I can't, you know, and let's say I'm wrong. Let's say all of this evidence that I've just read you, we know it's happening, right? We just don't know if, you know, there's no way I don't have the access to this stuff, because it's all patented. I can't.
Sure.
I don't have a lab I can test this stuff in. So I'm trying to get pressure. People need to start putting pressure and saying, look, all this evidence points to this is the case. Everything. There's nothing that says this is regular coronavirus. There's nothing that says this is the common cold. Right? I don't know what to do. I this is all I can do. And I know a lot of people feel the same way. But, man, if we don't stand up to this, we're not going to stand up to anything.
Exactly. You have to stand up when it's your turn to show some courage and to share with other people what you have gained. You have an obligation, and you're fulfilling an obligation that you have to share what you have learned with other people in order to inform and warn. And that's what you're doing. And I totally, absolutely respect you for this. Always have respected you. I've always respected your research. And it looks like we do have some callers, which we can take after the break. Yes, you're doing what needs to be done. And thank goodness for people like you.
You know, people that are banned and no one. It's
I would
horrible.
Never ban you.
It feels horrible. All right.
We'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back with Clint Richardson, and we do have some callers, and I do believe that there are ways of mitigating the assault on us using natural healing methods that are thousands of years old. And I believe I'm very, even though there are a lot of bad things happening, we must not forget that there are also good things that are happening, and we cannot allow the bad things to get in our way of some of these good things.
And let me just say one thing, just as a sort of a disclaimer, if you will. I just revealed it. Let's say I'm wrong here, okay? And I have no problem being. I want to be wrong. I really do. I want to be wrong, okay? I don't want this to be a epidemic of this kind of proportions that we're talking about. Let's say I am wrong. But what have I just revealed to you folks? Not that I'm wrong, period, that I'm wrong in this one case, in that this particular coronavirus mixed with HIV is what's infecting us. Okay, this scientists in Nature Medicine on 9 November, scientists investigated a virus called SHCO14, which is found in horseshoe bats in China. The researchers created a chimeric virus made up of the surface protein of SHCO14 and the backbone of a SARS virus that had been adapted to grow in mice and to mimic human disease. The chimera infected human airway cells, proving that the surface protein of SHCO14 has the necessary structure to bind to a key receptor on the cells to infect them. It also caused disease in mice but did not kill them. It infected human airway cells, folks. Now, let's just say I'm wrong about this, and I want to be wrong. What I'm not wrong about is that this is what they're doing behind closed doors in labs all across the world. They're shutting these things down, then they're reopening them and allowing them to do it more. They're creating much more virulent strains. They're doing things that by nature shouldn't be happening. All right. So let's just say that I'm wrong about the current coronavirus strain. I'm not wrong because I'm reading from sources about this. You should be up in arms that this type of research is happening when we know and they report on how bad the actual protective measures are to keep these things behind closed doors. All right, if anything else, you need, remember, this is called gain of function studies. This needs to be stopped. This needs to be made aware to the public and stopped. If anything, if you get anything out of this, this must stop. Because in my opinion, this is what we're dealing with.
In addition to the economic situation that it's created throughout the world.
Absolutely. This type of anti-nature, anti-science should not be allowed. If you are still a moral people that you claim to be, you cannot allow this to continue because it is going to kill us. And they know that. They know it. So I'm sorry. I just had to say that because, man, this is serious stuff.
Absolutely. For numerous reasons. Okay, let's take a phone call. Let's take David in San Francisco.
Hey, Deanna. Yeah, long time no call. You know, I tuned in a little late, so your guest, I didn't catch the full concept of what he was talking about, but what I was going to raise was if you're eating a pretty natural diet, you know, like humans eat fruits and berries and grains and dairy and things like that. Well, if you're sitting at home and you're eating a lot of cheesy puffs and, you know, candy bars and junk food, diseases eventually find that desirable. So diseases will eventually mutate to where is a common, you know, what do I want to eat today? Well, I'm going to eat some cheesy puff fat. Or whatever, you know. And so diseases, if you hear about this city in China where this seems to have come from, it's like the Chicago of China. It's a big transit hub. It's a big industry hub. It's got a lot of people, and no doubt they're eating a lot of junk food and having a high-stress life and a lot of air pollution and things like that. So is this a disease that originated in a polluted town, and then it's gotten into something that can be spread? So, like Deanne, a few minutes ago, you were talking about finding a kind of a natural way of living. Well, if you stay on a healthy diet, you're probably going to avoid, you know, the percentages increase if you're on a healthy diet. And yeah, if you get some fresh air and sunshine, yeah, go ahead.
If you go back and listen to the show, we actually did cover that. And even the notion that people are eating these ketosis diets that are taking you down to an acidic level, whereas the coronavirus doesn't like anything past about a 6.0 on the alkaline level.
Right. I'm not sure the numbers. I hear the music. Do you want to hold me over?
Yeah, we'll hold you over. We'll be right back.
Thanks, yeah.
with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All right, we are back with the bad to good. And we were talking with David in San Francisco, which is certainly not the city that I remembered visiting as a child. It has become, quite different. So, David, go ahead
as a matter of fact, San Francisco has been pretty much loved to death. You know, the real estate speculators moved in here, and they've been building and building and building, and they've got a 40% vacancy rate, and they've got skyscrapers that are virtually empty, and they refuse to rent to anybody that can't afford $3,000 a month for a studio or $5,000 a month for a studio. It's insane. So it's being loved to death by real estate brokers. And then the local government is so taken by their fake numbers that they actually believe them. And now when it comes time to pay the due, we've still got empty buildings and still tons of homeless people on the street and famous homeless people. A lot of artists and actors and musicians and famous people have been evicted for the last 10 years. So it's just a horror, man. That's why I'm a real believer in Moses had an old law of Jubilee. And some people see it as a year of rest. That you got to, give it back to Mother Earth. You got to give it back to God's green earth. You got to give it back to the garden. Somehow or another, it's money is not the important thing in life. Mother Earth is. So that factor really comes into whether or not Trump is going to take care of an epidemic or he's going to huckster it. And I personally believe the guy is just so into money that he cannot abide a day's revenues being cut off. So he's certainly going for the buck rather than the common sense thing. This idea, well, telling people to go to churches,
Think about it this way, the main, and this has been settled in court many times, the main purpose and the main job of a corporation, a CEO of any corporation, is to make money for its stockholders.
Right.
Right.
So why would you think that the President of the United States, who is essentially the head of all those departments, what do you think his main job is? Do you think it's to be a nurse to a bunch of sick people who have a weaponized version of the common cold? Or do you think it's to protect the stock market?
Well, at first, I'm not sure that it's a weaponized version. I think it's just as likely it's a pollution-based disease. When you think of eating bats, people were laughing at the Koreans because they were eating dogs and cats. But that's pitiful. That meant there was so much starvation that they were forced to eat dogs and cats. And sure, if somebody in China is forced to eat, if you realize that a bat is like as big as a mouse and how much effort it would be to carve that up and clean the fur off in order to eat a half a bite, it's an incredible amount of work for a measly amount of food. And so the idea that somebody is actually eating bats over there means there's horrible starvation. And that gets to the point where I don't believe that China is a communist country, because you don't have sweatshops in the land of the workers' rights. Communism was always workers of the world unite. How does a country that claims to be a communist country own so many sweatshops and force people into eating bats? We got to get our definitions right.
I was there and I saw the markets. They eat everything. The way that the open air markets were designed, they consume everything. Not because they're starving, but it's just different. Their markets have...
Well, I can't imagine a bat being a delicacy.
You cannot imagine. They have everything in their markets that you could possibly imagine.
Haven't you seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Well, those are scary movies. You know,
just to wrap up,
you know, slow and steady wins an epidemic. That's, if you've read the history books, slow and steady. Keep wiping stuff down. Keep cleaning out the sewers. Keep developing fresh water. Make sure that people get their sunlight and fresh air and vitamins and good food. You're going to whip an epidemic by slow and steady. And for Trump to be demanding that we go back to work means that he does not desire the end of an epidemic. And that gets into, I heard on the news the other day that this union was able to go through their production records, and they found 24 million ventilators, 24 million of them.
That's,
and so these
great.
Guys are hoarding it. The toilet paper, the Koch brothers make the most toilet paper in America, and all of a sudden it's missing? What do you bet they're hoarding it? The Koch brothers are hoarding it. So
sure.
These guys are biggest phonies there are, claiming market forces, and they want to be the profiteers in an epidemic. And
sure.
I take it for granted that Trump is not only organized crime, but he's a slumlord. And he's treating an epidemic like a slumlord would. He's not causing, you know, the sewers to be cleaned up. Slumlords famously never fix the plumbing, famously never fix a broken window. He's treating America like a slumlord would treat America. And I still don't quit that he's organized crime, but he's also a slumlord. So
Government is organized crime.
Right.
No. It's our property,
David,
and we got to protect it.
David, I do have another caller, and
sure.
We're running short on time.
Hey, well, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, definitely listen to the whole show, too.
Right. Okay, let's take John in California. John? Go, John.
Hello, Deanna. Rich.
Yes.
Nice show.
Hi.
Just real quick, Deanna, I love your music. It's relaxing, soothing, no matter what the topics are. So thank you for that. Anyway,
but
Clint, I heard you before.
The juxtaposition of your guest is not so pleasant.
No, that's all right. Anyway, Clint, I've heard you before. Thanks a lot for all the people on RBN who've brought this up and all kinds of stuff in the past and for years. And it's helped me a lot to go through things and that. And because people like you come up with this stuff, you research it, you know what to look for. I don't know where to start looking for all this stuff, but that's why I listen to all this and find out what's going on. And because what I hear, or at least my wife, she talks, either it's through the FDA, the CDC, or Johns Hopkins University, some form like this. And what you just did today, Clint, you talked about a lot of stuff with, you know, going back for years that... who would have known that happened? But,
you know
what to look for, and I'm not surprised. Let me bring, I thought about this the other day, and I just thinking, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist or a fear-monger or anything. With something like this, whether it's man-made or not, is it possible when they talk about, it's all over the world now, that some of these powers to be, the deep state, couldn't have been just kind of, like spraying it around parts of the world and kind of in little pockets, and then people get this and then it's all over the place now. And
you gotta wonder.
You do gotta wonder.
I think about that all the time.
Well, they're putting chemtrails and all this stuff all over, and water, air, and all this. You know, who knows that they're doing a little bit too, in the bottom line, get control of us.
Well, I mean, that's the plot of many movies and stories, right? So why would you not consider that? These are all things that are pre-programmed into us. See, one of the things I didn't really mention so much was, again, that movie Contagion. This is following that movie, you know, to a T. And there's this part in the movie where it says, and I was so shocked when I heard it, that the wild virus that they're following has now mixed with the African AIDS population and has morphed and is now much more virulent. When I heard that in that movie, I simply could not believe my ears, because they're saying that somehow naturally therefore we are predictively programmed to think that it's perfectly normal that an HIV receptor would somehow be attached to the common cold. And, you know, it just makes perfect sense, because it's just, you know, that's how evolution works. Well, no, that's not how it works. They've done this in a lab. And the fact that they made a movie that basically is predicting all of this stuff, including the fact that it mixed with HIV, just floors me to no end. Then there's, of course, the study or the the drill they did in October, the 201 drill, where they basically used coronavirus and said, hey, here's what would happen. Let's do this pandemic, thing. And then 2 months later, we have the same exact pandemic.
Yeah.
You're right about
the movies. And you can write anything in a script. Like I said, you could really make it like, oh my gosh, no. Versus, you could all of a sudden turn it around and say, oh, we eradicated it this way. But yeah. And you're right. There's a lot of movies recently on there. There are all these doomsday ones or virus killed all half the world or once somebody stays
all
alive and comes up with something.
All over
the
place, right? So you see that map. And that map is especially prevalent in movies, especially zombie movies, right? You got the map with all the little red dots, and the red dots become, pandemic, like you said, little places where it's really, really bad. Well, yeah, and I'm sure that that's not an original idea that you or I have, that they would actually release it somewhere. I mean, that's what they did in the Resident Evil movies. That's what they did in this movie. That's what they did in that movie. So it's not like we're coming up with these things on ourselves. We might think we are, but we're predictively programmed to consider all of these things, right? And to therefore treat it as normal and not do anything about it. That's the beauty to them about predictive programming.
Yeah, that's right. But again, like I said, RBN, a lot of the people I listen to, especially with natural, take care of yourself with this and that, and I've used that for years, and I'm doing fine and watching out for family that here and there, and I don't demand it out on that, but I said, there's other things to check and look up this, look up that, and going on for generations, and just keep informed. As far as what David said from San Francisco about what he said about Trump and thing about whether shut down work, and I didn't hear Trump say get back to work immediately, but I know there should be a way. A lot of these people, they don't have anything to do, they're out of work. Who knows about, what stuff, even though we're not an industrial manufacturer like we used to be, all out of China mostly, but still, slowly people get together. They can find a way to start up real easy. About people hoarding thing, I don't know, it's possible. Yeah, I believe that. That could be done. They could be holding things back. Another thing, control again. So, anyway.
Yeah. Sure. Well, thank you, John,
for
your
phone
call.
All the good work. Keep it up. Keep it up.
I will say one other thing too. Thank you, John. I do have some friends that are in the medical industry. They're on the administrative side or doctors, and they, other people, and they're contacting a lot of businesses. They're contacting in Utah, which is one of the least affected states. They're contacting hotels. They're contacting home health companies. They're contacting all kinds of different businesses, and apparently issuing some form of preliminary contracts that says, hey, if we have a pandemic situation, it gets really bad here, can we use your hotel as a makeshift hospital or a makeshift morgue? Depending
on one thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, as far as like people like Bill Gates, yeah, that's a problem. Spreading fear in that among people, yeah. And he doesn't even use the vaccines among his family. His doctors admitted it. Bill Gates even had an interview on one of the RBN websites, had it, and I can't remember. But, talking about vaccines, that's what we need to, Anyway, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, just so people know, it's serious enough that they're doing that, looking for places they can use as morgues and makeshift hospitals, and they're contacting people in the industry. How many do you think that your nursing staff can handle? Do you have the right equipment? Do you have masks? Do you have gowns? Do you have, standard stuff? So, is by no means is this something we should be taking lightly, unfortunately. And I think the reasons are pretty obvious after what we've just talked about. So,
right. Let's see. Let's take Ed in Utah. Ed, really quick. Quick.
Yeah. Listen, I'm listening to everything here. I'm not tracking with everything you're saying at all, but there's a very thought-provoking stuff there, Clint. You're still here in Utah?
I am, yes.
Yeah, okay. And you know about this big declaration of stuff over in Summit County, the other side of the Wasatch here, and they're attributing that a lot to Sundance and the tourists that were there and what have you. But here's what I'm not tracking with the full length of this conversation. I want to ask you, Diana, did you see Dr. Lorraine Day's interview or hear it on Andrew Carrington Hitchcock last Thursday night?
No, but I'm aware of her, and I've interviewed her. And,
yes, you have. Yes.
It's been a while.
Here's what I'm... Yes, well, I hope you have her back on. This is very important. Not to discredit things you're saying here, Clint. You're pretty much an expert, it seems, on whatever you endeavor with that mind of yours. Nevertheless, I'm staying focused on what I'm seeing and hearing in front of me. I am seeing and hearing about and seeing with my eyes military, rabid police, the signs I've seen with actual photos in places like West Virginia, Kentucky, where the governors, not necessarily the state legislatures, Deanna, are barking orders, stay at home, cover your cough. This
right.
is totalitarian, dictatorial. This is worse than anything. Two of them callers, very angry when I hear this, about, oh, Trump is this or that. I'm not on Trump's side, I'm telling you. This has about done it for me. I just want you to know, for various reasons. The Trump wants people back to work. We better well, damn well get back to work and get these businesses open. This is a service economy. The last thing they said was out of place, Deanna, and they seem to be wanting to destroy the last vestiges of it and come back with a new economy. They keep talking about when we get to the other side of this. Well, let me just tell you, this is, as you started the program out, this is a partial martial law. And so what I'd like to see, perhaps you could have Steve Elkins, John Stattmiller's sidekick there, who knows what's going on. I'm tracking with those two 100%, just to let you know. And
right.
Dr. Lorraine Day and Clint, can I say one other thing on the other side of this break, please?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. We'll be right back. Clint, I would like you to address the what Ed has said. And you mentioned that you're talking about ashwagandha, which I have a lot of ashwagandha, use it all the time. I guess it was our producer was talking about. Clint, go ahead and address what Ed has said. He's
well,
obviously very upset.
Yeah, I perfectly understand the sentiment. However, the only thing I would probably say is that money is not going to solve any problem. Money is not the solution. In other words, we're suffering from spiritual problems. This show has not been about business or anything like that. As much as it is, we have a spiritual issue going on where we are attacking the laws of nature, twisting them, and basically creating Brundlefly, if you remember the movie The Fly, right? We're doing yep. stuff here. We're doing stuff here that is so against God's design and law. That's the real problem. So to be concerned about the economy when I just got done telling you that they're creating every possible chimeric, pandemic strain of virus they possibly can, taking things that should only be in the animal kingdom and making them infectious to humans, and you're worried about if 7-Eleven's going to be open. I disagree. That's a completely other subject than this. And the only other thing I'll say is what you're really saying is that you want everything that has to do with usury and grocery. Usury, of course, we know what that is, but grocery is actually selling products at a at a, you know, collecting products and then selling them at a really high price. It used to actually be a crime called grocery. Now we have our friendly neighborhood grocers that we actually think is normal. But to be a grocer used to be a crime because, well, for obvious reasons. So I don't really think that business coming back online is the solution for what I would say is probably the worst spiritual problem that mankind has ever had in history. But that's just my opinion.
Well, okay, that's your opinion. But, Clint, the fact is, this network, under the laws that Donald Trump and the rest of them are using right now, could shut down this network tomorrow. That's what I'm alarmed about. That's what I'm upset about. And let me know this. Let me just say this. It's more. It is about economy. That's what people need for their livelihood. Even if it's not an ideal job, he is shutting.
Okay, Clint, go ahead and respond to what he said.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's a reason that they're saying don't touch money because they want to go cashless. I agree. You're not talking about the end of the economy. All you're talking about here is the end of the world as we know it, the end of the legal structure as we know it in order to create what is called the New World Order. Last time I did a show, I talked about the New World Order and what that is. World means secular in the Bible, right? So new secular order is what we're talking about. What is secular but the opposite of spiritual? We don't have a problem with the secular legal world. That's going along just great, according to exactly how it's always been planned. What we have is a spiritual problem, and the fact that we're participating in the legal system, we're participating in money and usury and grocery, we're screwing each other over at every turn. We have a spiritual problem, not a legal problem. The legal system's going along just fine as planned. So,
my dear, dear friend, Clint, bless your heart. Keep up the great work, and I'll talk soon.
Thank you.
I love you, too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners.